Welcome to MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning, Andrew Craig, and Brad McLaughlin, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, or anyone who wants a sneak peek into the real world of bedside nursing. So join us, laugh along the way, and maybe learn a little something too. And thanks for listening, guys.
Welcome to MedRoom Chronicles, guys. I am here with Andrew. What's up, Andrew?
Hello, hello. How are you doing, Adrienne?
I am good. Just kind of relaxing at home on the couch. The fella's gone to bed. The dog's gone to bed. The cat's gone to bed. So here I am.
It's Adrienne time.
It's MedRoom Chronicles and me time.
Woo! You know, we haven't had a chance to talk in probably, what?
Couple weeks.
2 weeks,
yeah.
Or so?
Yeah.
It's too long. It's way too long.
I know.
You know, when we first started, we had this big stash of podcasts, and now we need to catch up a little bit. So I'm excited to, you know, I think we both have some things going on in our lives that we get a chance to share with the world out there. And, you know, I was seeing the statistics. People are listening to our show more.
They kind of are, yeah. I'm learning to be an analytics nerd, and it's interesting because when you're a podcast first starting out, you don't get to see a lot of your analytics. And so, and what I mean by that for folks who don't know, I don't always get to see how many downloads we get or how many people are following, subscribing. Like, iTunes doesn't tell you this stuff because really most people aren't downloading episodes right from iTunes. They're doing it from the player on their phone or Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you know, and we're on all of these. But we don't really get to know how many of you are listening, which is why when we go on, you know, the social media, we're like, hey, give us a like, leave us a comment, rate us, tell us what we're doing is good or bad or whatever, because we only get to see like a tiny little sliver of the pie that makes up our statistics. And according to those, we are still reaching milestones. Like, I'm actually going to pull it up and look. Last time I looked, we had 299 total hours that people had listened to us just on Spreaker.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe people actually can tolerate my voice for that long.
I know. Well, let's see. Let me refresh the page and see if we've hit 300 hours yet. Because that's really the thing I get most excited about. We could get like a million downloads, and if only five people were actually then listening to the whole episode, that's a little different. So no, guys, we're still at 290. Well, you can't see that bright phone. We're still at 299 hours. So,
I'm sure we'll make it. I'm sure we'll get there.
Anyway, awesome. This is like another call to people that if you like what we're doing, tell us somehow. And if you don't know how to find us, go to medroomchronicles.com, and all of our social media is listed on the homepage. So, yeah, anyway.
Did I tell you recently a coworker of ours, Sarah and I, came up to us and said, you know, I checked out your podcast, and we ended up listening to the entire series on our road trip.
Really?
The entire series. And it was funny because the wife's a nurse, the husband's not. And, you know, he didn't get it, but she was like, yes, yes, remember the things we hate with like the one pill at a time? People, it just resonates with people because that's such a huge frustration we experience. And she literally was saying out loud, yes, yes, to our podcast while they're on their road trip. So it's just stuff like that. It's like, wow, you know, we are actually making a difference out there. People are connecting with us, and I freaking love it. I absolutely love it. And You know, one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is the Travel Nurses Conference in Vegas. And I got to experience some amazing things there, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I've actually been really curious. We haven't had any time to talk about it, and then you were sick after you came back. So
yes.
I feel like my curiosity has only grown. You know, I've only been to one convention. It was nothing, I assume, like what this was. First, I'm gonna kind of act as though I know nothing, because I virtually don't. So you... TravCon, okay, which is specifically for traveling nurses, correct?
That's exactly right. It's a annual conference that's held in Vegas that was started by a small group of people and forum. It's pretty interesting. You know my top 10 travel nurse tips, travel nurse tips video, my first video ever on YouTube. The people that contacted me, the Professional Association of Nurse Travelers, after I made that, are the founders of the conference. And that's how I found out about the conference, was through interactions with them, because we did videos together. And it's grown from, you can see the statistics on their website. It's like the first year had 45 people, and then the next year had 110. This year, I believe, had 1,600 people in just 10 years. It was awesome. There was so much going on. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. So, is it, I want to be careful how I ask these questions, because really my frame of reference is like, so is it like you go and like there's classes and there's speakers, but then there's also like areas with like vendors and like booths where you can go and talk to different people and different services and like, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I can tell you all about that. So I've been doing a lot of outreach in the travel nurse community over the past several months. Agencies, recruiters, vendors, industry leaders, influencers, bloggers. I mean, the whole spiel, the whole shebang. I've been talking to all kinds of people, mainly because I've had it through my videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal going to this was simply making more connections in the community, meeting more people. But it's exactly the way you describe it. It's a huge conference hall. I think there was somewhere in the realm of 200 booths. And it varied from travel nurse agencies to travel nurse vendors or softwares, hotel companies, traveling companies, different industry leaders with their services. And then there was, of course, tons of classes. Now, honestly, I only went to one class because it's actually really cool. 3 weeks before the conference, I got wind of these awesome vloggers, essentially, these healthcare travelers, Kim and Aaron. Now, Kim is a sonographer, and Aaron is an IR tech. And so they're married. So what they do is, it's amazing, Adrian. They travel the U.S., they do contracts about 6 months out of the year, and then they save up everything. They live a very minimalistic lifestyle intentionally, so they can save up all their money, and then they go live in Asia or they go live in another country for the rest of the year. It is awesome, and I'm so jealous that they get to do that, because what a sweet lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome. Now, I mean, that's not good for everybody, but I mean, even they have a dog. They live with their family members. I think in Florida they were saying. And so it's funny, because I was just walking around because I think I was the only vlogger there. My goal was to vlog the entire conference. I did 6 days of vlogging. And they saw me with my stick, and they're like, I wonder if it's that guy that contacted us, because – I said, hey, we should do it. We should do like something. We should collaborate on something. We should do a podcast, something. I'm like, I like you, and I think you're going to like me, and we need to talk. So they came up to me, and I'm like, I don't know you, but your face looks familiar. Like an awkward 30 seconds to finally just get it. And I'm like, oh, you're the people that I contacted 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry. My brain is shitty right now. And so it was like instant connection between Sarah and Kim and me and Aaron. We're like on the same wavelength. It's like we meshed together. It was like, it was crazy. We hung out with them the entire weekend from that point. The point is, they're the only talk that I went to. Now, the other talks were very helpful for newer travelers. And not to say that I don't have anything to learn, because I learn almost every day, specialty. But I wanted to spend that time making connections to the industry and the industry leaders versus spending it in a classroom, because I'd probably be falling asleep anyway. I just felt like it wasn't really for me.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
Sarah got so tired of it. Another goal I had while I was there is I gave the vlogging shot. You know, you've seen my videos. They're more educational, which I love doing that. That's my thing. But I'm like, boy, what I've learned about YouTubers is when they go to the next level in terms of engagement and subscriber base, when you start vlogging. The problem with vlogging is it's extremely time consuming and so involved, because you have to think about your shots and B-roll, and you end up with gigs and gigs of video and pictures. And it's kind of intrusive because you're constantly recording everything around you. I probably videotaped or videoed or recorded whatever, maybe 5 or 6, 7 hours of video. I mean, that's a shitload of video. But so the goal is, I noticed that there hasn't been a video experience of TravCon, and I wanted to bring that this year. So I'm hoping to be the first person to do that. I interviewed people. I just went up to random strangers. I went up to recruiters, and so the goal is to essentially just share the love. You know, maybe they'll get share my video. Maybe I'll get, you know, some of my audience to grow because of it. So it's just kind of it was just an awesome experience. I could ramble about it for hours.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, TravCon, and you know, aside from the conference, it was in Vegas. And hey, have you been to Vegas?
No, I haven't.
You got to do it. You what, like $90 a flight, probably round trip on the tin can planes if you wanted to risk your life on those. But
yeah, but you got to remember that a lot of those really cheap flights are out of bigger airports than what's nearby. And so there are added expenses to getting to an added time to getting to those. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to going to Vegas, but it's never been really high on our list. Like, we have a long list of places we want to travel to, but I've had people say that going to Vegas for like a conference or some kind of like event experience is different than just like fucking going to Vegas for the weekend.
We went this year, we went twice last year, and then we went once, maybe like 5 years ago on a whim. Cause we went like the first 3 months that Sarah and I met, and it was my idea. I'm like, Vegas for the hell of it. And we ended up going. It was awesome. And then we went twice last year, which was nuts. Spent way too much money, but whatever. Yeah. Vegas is great in small doses. It's like Dilaudid, a little bit works really well. So two, three days is enough. And we were there, I think, for 5 days. And that's probably why I got sick.
Yeah.
It's crazy, Adrian. The day I got back from the conference, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
I feel something right here.
Here's the thing. It's you know, it's very likely that you could have been exposed at the conference, but it's more likely it was on the airplane, because what, the prodromal period of like the common cold is like 12 hours or something like that. And so you get on an airplane, and as a nurse, you know, I'm hyper aware of this, but you get on an airplane and you're sharing air. You know, you've got a blower of air coming at you that's forcing recycled air up your nose and down your throat, and you know, kids are sneezing two rows back, and they don't sani wipe every fucking nook and cranny of that airplane between flights. I mean, let's be real. And so unless you're, you know, carrying Avant with you, hand sanitizer, and wearing a mask, like, you know, you're basically just in a cesspool of germs in the sky.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if I told you, but for the people that don't follow my snaps, or if you haven't added me on Facebook, which you're welcome to do both, so I worked 3 days. So here's the problem. We went to Vegas. The day we got back from Vegas, the following day, I had to work, or following night. I worked 3 days, and every single day I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And then on the fourth day, I go up to Sarah and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I just cannot do it, because I had to work a fourth day in a row, which is dangerous enough as a healthy nurse. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole nother episode in itself, in terms of, like, you know, shift times and all that stuff. But fourth day, I was out of it, Adrian. I mean, my brain was gone. We've talked about the brain fog mm-hmm. of third shift.
Now add illness on top
of it. I was so mentally spent. That, and physically, like, I was walking slow because I had no energy. I told Sarah, I'm done. I go up to the charge. I'm like, just expect me to call off tonight. I'm just assume that this is going to happen, because I'm going to go to the clinic right now. I drop off Sarah because she had to work third shift. I drive to the clinic. I actually drive a car next, because I look and I didn't see anyone, but I must have just missed it. And I cut somebody off. It was crazy. I go to the wrong address, realize I've gone to the wrong address, come back to the clinic, get to the clinic, and I'm slumping over like this in the seat. I'm coughing my ass off, and I'm just kind of staring blankly at the ceiling. And the lady looks at me, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay.
She's like, sir, can you tell me your name? And you're like...
Seriously, it was bad. And so I see the physician, and she's like, you know, I want to start fluids on you. And I'm like, well, and this is the problem. I'm going off a tangent from the conference here. I'm sorry, Adrian.
No, it's okay. You're fine.
This is the problem with the healthcare system. You know why I didn't immediately agree to fluids? The first thing that I thought was, even though I'm insured, is what is it going to cost me? Isn't that terrible? It's something that is so vital to the body. And you're like, ooh. How much is that going to
be? Can I afford to save my own life?
It's crazy. So I asked her, I said, what would you do if you were in my shoes? And she said, well, I would do it. I said, well, fuck it. I'll just do it. And I can tell you that was the best decision I could have made. Not only did she hook me up with fluids, but she gave me some Toradol, because my mind or my head was just exploding in pressure. I was so dehydrated. They had to poke me 3 times. Unfortunately, I was so out of it that I didn't even give a shit. But I'm a nurse, so I didn't even care, because I'm like, I get this, okay? I told the lady in the area, or as she was poking me, I'm like, listen, like 4 months ago, I went on a streak. I had missed Adrian like 8 or 9 times in a row, peripheral IV. It was bad. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. Screws up your confidence as a nurse. So the benchmark was the need to pee. She wanted me to get rehydrated and peeing. And after 3 liters, she's like, I can't give you any more in the clinics I'm supposed to be giving people. And finally, I started peeing again, because I hadn't peed in a while. I mean, it probably had been like 12 hours because I was so dehydrated.
Oh, yeah.
So I got 3 liters in the clinic. I was at the clinic for like 5 hours. I got some Toradol. I got amoxicillin because I have bilateral ear infections. My tympanic membranes are literally bulging out, she says. They're supposed to be concave mm-hmm. and translucent. They are opaque and bulging, like there's shit behind there.
Yeah.
I have an upper respiratory infection, a wicked cough that I'm starting to go down from. She gave me some cough syrup that I requested because my coughing is so bad. My flank, like your CF patients. Mm-hmm. When I was coughing, like this croup cough, this... That, you know, that AM cough that they have with the bronchiectasis and get that shit out of there.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I felt. Like, oh my God, it hurts so bad. Vegas was awesome and the conference was awesome, but I got fucked so bad at the end. I got so fucking sick, Adrian. It was mind-boggling and it was so surreal. I'm like, I'm getting poked in my hand and my AC. I'm at the clinic getting fluids. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
I've been there. When I was a nursing assistant, I got the mumps really bad. It was during a mumps outbreak here at the university.
What?
And I had only been working at the U for maybe, well, let's see. This was in like December and I had started at the U in August. And I went to the ER and I was like, I haven't kept water down in days. And they had to IV, but I wasn't a nurse then. So they put, this is the spot that they always get me because I'm hard up here. So they always get me like in this bouncy one right here. And they gave me fluids. And I just remember laying on the table, just like staring at the IV being like, I want it out. I want it out. I want it out. I want it out. Is it done? Is it done? I want it out for hours. But yep. I lived alone in an efficiency with my pets. I was like, I'm going to die in this apartment and my pets are going to eat me. Like, I thought that's how I was going to go out.
Yep.
But I guess what I'm saying is I understand how it is when you're like, I'm supposed to be at work right now. And instead, I am needing to be the patient. Yep. And, I do want to talk more about the conference, but I think it is noteworthy to say to people that, like, next time you or your loved one is in the hospital and your nurse is not hopping to as quickly as you want her to, or him, or them, whatever, and, you know, your hot blanket hasn't shown up yet, just remember, there's a pretty... not always common chance, but like nurses run themselves pretty ragged. I've had times where like my patient's been upset that I didn't bring them whatever. And I'm like, dude, I just peed out of my butt in the bathroom because I'm so sick. You want me to get what again? Oh, yep. You need your 7th warm blanket? Sure, I'll get on that.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. It is very weird to be on the other side of things when you're so used to having that control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think what helped me in that situation is I was so gone and tired that I just didn't even give a shit. Yeah. I probably would have been a little more anxious about it because I even being so as tired as I was, I'm like, ooh, are they wiping off that port? Did they scrub my skin long enough? You know, you have all these things rolling around in your head, but faith, you know, that they are doing the job that we all do, that we all do 99% of the time very well. I mean,
and I'm,
there's always
I'm sure.
that 1% chance that something's going to go wrong, but you know, props to the UW clinic in Madison. It's in the Westtown clinic. From the moment I stepped in there, nothing but friendliness and accommodation. The nurses, the HUCs, the medical assistants, the physician, nothing but compassion and love. I mean, it was great. I actually, I vlogged a little bit of that experience to it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't help it because I think I'm going to give the vlogging thing a shot maybe in the future. Just we'll see how this next video goes. The problem, Sarah is not into it at
all. Yeah, we both have partners that have put up with a lot of shit in the last few months.
Right.
Because I also have done just a little bit of vlogging. And actually, we should talk off air about some apps and tools that might be helpful to you. But it's true, like when you are trying to be a vlogger, if the person that you're with is not also into the vlogging lifestyle, it can be kind of a thing that you need to work out. You know, some people like you and I want to broadcast our thoughts and our lives and hope people that learn from them. And then there's people like your Sarah and my Doug who are like, do people really need to know about this moment?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I got a lot of that on Vegas. In Sarah's defense, I went from never having vlogged ever. Every minutes. Like every 15 minutes, I was sleeping something. And the reason why is it's not just about the talking. It's about context. It's about the B-roll. It's about giving people a scene, a direction
the
of the story.
You're telling
that,
a story.
And that's the complicated part that I just learning and growing, you know, my channel and creating my voice. And it's all very new. I mean, we've been doing the podcast, what, like 2 months? And then I've been doing my channel maybe 4 months. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, though, how much traction both of us have gotten in just a short period of time.
Although the thing that I have to say both to you and to people out there listening is that I have all these ideas and I have all these people I want to reach out to, but I don't want to hear the no's. And so I've been really hesitant to reach out to a lot of people that I either want to do a podcast with or who have inspired me or people who I don't know. I feel like on one hand, I've totally immersed myself in this online world. And on the other kind of side of that coin, I am watching and learning and growing, but I'm like terrified still to put myself out there entirely. I'm interested to see how I grow, but also I want to say to other people, like, come talk to me, break the ice.
Yes. Well, you've had people approach you for talks, haven't you?
People have sent me messages about wanting to hear me/us talk about certain topics. But I feel like people keep contacting you and saying, like, hey, we love the podcast. And, like, nobody knows who I am. But I'm really bad at self-promotion. Like, I'm really bad at being like, here's this thing that I made.
I don't know what you do, regarding self-promotion, but I guess I never knew that I would be good at self-promotion until I started doing it. And I don't know what I've done. So the process has been very simple. You have value to give.
Right.
So what I've been doing is, and we have value on both individually and through this podcast.
That's true.
What I've been doing, like, hey, check out my thing. I see you also have a thing together. And that's it. That's
I feel like that's it. And, you know, I have been a nurse for, 14 months now. And as I've said to people many times over, I was a nursing assistant in a large hospital for like 11 years. So I feel like I do have a lot of relevant experience to bring. But when it comes to me feeling like an expert at something, I don't feel like I've attained that yet. And like you have this niche that you do know really well because you're living this lifestyle. You know, you have this like this edge of teaching people about travel nursing because you're doing it, you've learned the hard way, you've like had to figure some things out on your own, and you're trying to like provide a service that allows people to step into this role without all the struggle that you kind of put in, you know, on the front end. Interestingly enough, okay, so I follow all of these nursing blogs, vlogs, podcasts, whatever, that talk a lot about the technical aspects of nursing, the important things about growing into being a good nurse. I am incredibly interested in kind of like the psychosocial aspect of nursing. So I think you bring value in like giving people a set of tangible like steps, ideas, a way to achieve something that they want. And I feel like I'm over here, the hippie den mom, that's like, let's talk about the inner workings of how we feel as nurses, you know? So
that is so you. Yeah, you just put like a label on it. Yeah. That's good though. That's good.
It is, but you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm trying to make videos that I want to see that I don't see on the internet. And I follow a ton. And actually the list has been growing by the day of the nurses and nursing students that I follow on YouTube. Andrew, I don't know if you've dug deep into the world of other vloggers, but there are some amazing nurse vloggers right now. And they're all doing something a little bit different. And it's not what we're doing. And, you know, I feel like that's the beautiful thing about nursing is we're all doing something so different. Yes. And we can all talk about our different experiences. So like you can speak to, you know, multiple categories more so than I. You can speak to the traveling population. You can speak to the trauma ICU pop, you know, all of the other units that you've worked on, you know, nurses that work with spouses. Like you have all of these kind of like tags that fit you. And I still have tags, so to speak, that fit me, but there are fewer of them. So I think that we bring a really interesting mix to the table, and I hope other people think so as well, where you want to talk about the, like, here's how you do this, then you do this, then you achieve this. And I'm more like, yeah, but how are people interacting with you? And, you know, do you feel happy? And are you doing yoga at work? And...
Yep. That, you know, you know why that, it's just my personality.
I'm right.
Isn't that funny? It's like, in fact, it's so funny that you're describing that right now because, I'm doing a traveler course in November and one of the things that I'm designing it in a way that's very, you know, kind of step by step because I want to keep it very, you know, linear to a goal, you know, how to find your housing, how to pick a recruiter, that type of stuff, step-by-step processes, because the way I look at it is we're so busy and we need short bites of information in an efficient way, short, valuable bites of information. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. Yeah, I've always been that way. Even in nursing school. And I think that's why sometimes a nursing school is very hard, like in psych, for instance, because there is not a step-by-step outline to understand the human psyche, just like there, you know, like there isn't really anything for pathophys, but like ABGs, for instance, that is a very logical, linear thing that has steps. You evaluate the pH, CO2, the CO2, and you create this, you know, end product. Is it respiratory, metabolic? It made perfect sense to me. And some people are like mind blown that, you know, that they just can't get it. And I got it right away. In fact, it's just a thing just because it made sense to me.
That's really funny that you bring up ABGs because I kind of had that same feeling when we first started learning ABGs. I was like, ooh, this is like better than Sudoku. Like, this is like, this is like a puzzle that actually can help somebody, you know? So, I'm actually taking pathophysiology right now and we had an acid base unit right at the beginning. And I was like, I fucking got this shit. I know my acid base. But it's only because, like we've talked about in other episodes, I learned it early on because they were like, this will never go away. But yeah, so you're kind of like the mathematical mind, for lack of a better word. And right. I'm kind of like the analytical. I want to talk about, you know. Anyway, I think it's a good mix. I think it leads to a lot of interesting conversations. Yeah. And I actually wanted to draw one other parallel while I'm thinking of it. I'm all over the place tonight. But when I went to the cystic fibrosis conference, the North American Cystic Fibrosis Foundation's conference last year, I kind of had a similar experience. I went to a bunch of classes because they had paid for me to go to those classes. And also as a new nurse, I really did have a hunger to learn something. But the times that I felt that I had the most fun was when I was like down in the main display area where like all the vendors were and like learning things about services or items or whatever that exists that I didn't know about before. And so that was more fun than sitting in a classroom because I was like talking to people, talking to vendors and, you know, seeing products being demonstrated. And yeah, so I think I didn't get to experience as much of that as it sounds like you did. I would love another chance to go to a conference and do that, like networking, just go up to people and be like, where are you from? I'm from, you know, right now, Iowa, like, you know, I think that there's a beauty to that.
you could go to the next year's TravCon. They have plenty of people that are just interested in travel nursing that go.
Yeah.
So there's, it's a good opportunity there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I'm not gonna,
that's okay. It's lingering.
Still coughing a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. You can just edit all that shit out.
Damn it.
Oh, I wish you felt better.
I actually do feel better. It sounds worse than it is. I'm gonna do a blow the nose here real quick. I'm just
That's
gonna throw it on mute.
You do it. It's like a silent movie. For all of you listening at home, Andrew is presently blowing his nose, and the camera is kind of glitching out a little bit. So I feel like I'm watching a claymation video of Andrew blowing his nose. It's like a stop motion version of this.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
It's pretty great.
Wow. Well, we're all nurses here. We're all in healthcare. I that reminds me. I think you actually took a screenshot of it. I was coughing so hard recently that I was literally farting on the unit, Adrian. It was bad. I just get this big cough and then boop, and, you know, and I had to look around, you know how you do when like a surprise fart comes and you look around and you're like, oh, did anybody see that?
Dude, let me.
Fortunately, only one was at the nurse's station.
Okay, so I am a 36-year-old female. I consider myself an intelligent, mature individual, but there is never a circumstance where a fart is not the most hilarious thing that's ever happened. Like, I don't care if I'm alone in a room and I or my dog farts, I still have like ruckus laugh. I can't help it. Farts are never not funny to me. I'm like a 12-year-old boy deep down inside. So if we were sitting at the nurse's station together and I heard you like sneeze fart or cough fart or whatever, I'm sorry. I would be like on the floor in pandemonious laughter. Like I would lose my shit. So,
you're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's awesome. So,
as an aside, I'm sorry. Okay. As an aside, it is a fart aside. It's a fart, okay. fart side. I was working with a nurse, and I don't know if he listens to this show or not, but hopefully he'll hear this. But I was working with a nurse. We had a very obese patient up in the Hoyer, in like the sky lift. You know, it's like mounted from the ceiling. This patient is up in the lift. We're getting the patient off the commode. We're going to help the patient back to bed. And this nurse that I'm with is kind of, you know, imagine a teardrop of a human in the sling, and he's kind of underneath giving a little bit of a cleanup. And in that moment, this patient says, "I'm sorry," simultaneously ripping the biggest, loudest, kabooming fart. And while nothing came out but sound, the nurse went from like a cleaning position to like, folks,
oh my
for
God.
Those of you who couldn't see that, that nurse flattened himself against the wall so fast. Like, it was like the fastest movement I've ever seen. Just trying to get his ass out of the way of this, like, sudden surprise airlifted fart coming at him. And I was in the corner, like on the other side, like trying to keep a straight face because the patient right. can see me. And I'm like, it's okay. We're just getting you cleaned up. Like, no big deal. It's okay. And meanwhile, the poor nurse is like has this look of sheer horror on their face.
I
anyway,
put a,
you had to be there.
Do you remember that snap I put out recently where I said I had this face like this? And I said, that moment when you get poop on your ungloved hand.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's what it reminds me of. When you just did like this cat sprawl, like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, nursing. You know what? Sometimes nursing isn't all bad. Sometimes I'm like, God, I just, oh, pain in the ass. But other times it's like. When are you going to get poop on your ungloved hand? I mean, what other profession?
Oh, here's another funny story for you. So Sorry, I'm just remembering all these like little moments that I've had over the last few weeks. So another nurse that I quite enjoy and that we get the giggles a lot at work, we were going in. She needed me to help boost and turn this patient, but she wanted me and not one of the other nurses because she needed somebody with like a special kind of finesse. And if you've ever worked with me, I have a way about me that takes really high, strong, like, don't touch me patients to like, okay, you can do this. We're going to turn now. So anyway, we go in, we're helping this patient turn. This patient is in so much pain. And so this patient accidentally like reaches over to grab the railing of the bed and accidentally grazes the outside of my boob. And this patient's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Like, I was just reaching for the railing. And I was like, it's okay. I'm not offended. Like, let's just move forward. And he went, oh, you're not offended? And then fake gestured to like grabbing the other one. And I was like, hey, now, you got that one. I was like, hey, now, you got that one freebie. Don't push it because anything that touches me, you're not getting back.
And he laughed about it,
but I was like, how are you going to go make a joke like that? Like, but at the same time, I also was like, while this interaction was happening, we turned him, the nurse wiped his ass, we turned him the other way, he was still laughing, we got him boosted up in bed, and the nurse was like, sorry, there was a bug on my screen, and the nurse was like, that's like the fastest turn we've ever done. And I was like, well, apparently all I need to do is let him touch my boobs periodically and your night will be just like cake. I'm joking, I would never willingly like engage in that's inappropriate, but he was joking around about it, and I was like, okay, like, that was funny, that was your freebie, but now we're done. Okay, like, now we're moving on.
Kind of related. I'm so I dropped an F-bomb in front of a patient
recently.
Oh, it was like,
what was the context?
Stopped. I'm going to tell you, but I'm just going to tell you that when the moment I said that, I'm like, what happened, Andrew? Oh,
what just happened? What did I do? I blacked out for a minute. Oh, hold on, guys. Andrew is coughing again. He's gone off to get some water, I hope. And poor guy. Guys, if you're ever up in a germ tube flying across the United States, please, 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 please wash your hands. Cover your mouth when you sneeze. Cover the mouths of your rugrats when they sneeze. Because your sputum flying all over an airplane makes my friends sick. And when you make my friends sick, you mess with my podcast. And when you mess with my podcast, you mess with me.
Okay.
Welcome back. Did you catch any of that, Andrew?
All I heard was, if you make my friends sick, something, something.
I just gave a little public service announcement while you were gone about how people should cover their dirty faces and the faces of their dirty children when they're up in a germ tube in the sky, and that they should not make my friends sick by letting people just spray their sputum all over the airplane. So that's
seriously
what I have to say.
That shit messes with our podcast mojo.
It does. We got shit to do, man.
So, sorry, folks. I have this wicked cough. Whenever I get colds, I get a cough similar to this. But this is another level of fucked up. I've never had a cough this bad where my whole sides are on fire. Every cough I have, it's crazy.
But
this stuff makes it all better. This is the shit that Lil Wayne uses to make scissor, okay? But I'm not going to be making rap videos with my cough medicine. I'm going to be using my shit legitimately.
Oh, my God. You need to go put on a gold chain and drink that and make some travel nursing videos. Be like, bitches, I got my scissor. I'm going travel around the world with my scissor. Yeah, so It's no joke. I'm sorry you're sick.
I totally dropped the F-bomb in front of my patient. And it just came out, Adrian. It was like word vomit, like blah, blah. And I, you know, shocked. So here's the deal. My patient had a tattoo in a similar location that I have a tattoo. And the one thing I remember about that is it hurt like a bitch, like really, really bad. And it was so funny because we both said it fucking hurt at the exact same time. It was like, again, brain waves on the same wavelength. I don't know. And I think it's because I was a little sick. Like my inhibition is screwed up. Filters are off. And I looked at her and she was like, man, whatever. And I was like, I said fuck in front of my patient. I mean, I've said shit. I've said damn. I don't think I've said bitch. I shouldn't be saying bitch at work.
No.
Around a patient at all. But you know what? If you're cool with the patient, you know, you got the cool vibes, a damn or shit might come out. No big deal. But bitch and fuck are like the next level of unprofessional.
Yes, those are the ones that are the only time you use those is when someone's like arterial blood is like shooting out at you. And then you can say, fuck. But otherwise, you keep those to a minimum.
Yeah, seriously, like, I thought I was going to lose my nursing license at that moment. I'm like, oh, there it goes. Bye-bye. but she was cool. We're good. As far as I know, there's no complaint at this time.
at this particular moment, nothing is pending.
I didn't get a vibe that she gave a shit, but, you know, the thing is I'm better now, but in the past, I had a really, like, foot-and-mouth problem saying shit that was like, whoa, Andrew, simmer down. Even in my rescue days, because I was still, like, 2 years in, and in some aspects, I kind of started over in rescue. I was a very new nurse in acute care. So when you're in a new context like that, the stress of a situation can really affect you emotionally, mentally, right? As you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, and for instance, in the mornings with Dan, me and Dan, we would get goofy as fuck in the morning. So goofy. And I know you've got some funny, like, little stop motion. Yep. Yeah, I see what you're doing. I know the one you're talking about. So me and Dan, and just for context, for people that may just now be listening to us, Dan is a musician. He was an RN on the same unit that Adrian and I worked on. And we were really goofy. He kind of looks like John Belushi, but hairier.
He was in episode 7 or 8 with him. It's the episode entitled Nursing Music and Dan.
In fact, you should put, there's a preview for this episode when I say, yes, yes, look at me. I even had a beard then. Yes.
Oh, come on. Play. Yeah, folks, let's do this.
Oh, my God. Yep. Yes. Yeah, me and Dan had some goofy times. So I miss Dan. He's in San Diego, I think, still, but he's on tour, too.
Have we ever been, like, sloppy now?
Oh, I think these are your arms, too. Sorry, this is going to be really anticlimactic for the people. I think that's you eating breakfast up there.
Yep.
All right, that's enough video show and tell. Video show and tell is not fun on audio, man.
Yep. But, what I was getting at was, I've said some really, really stupid shit as a new nurse. And I've gotten a whole lot better, but I don't know what it is. You know, you just don't get redos. You're like, I'll take a mulligan on that one. Let's just restart. And another one is patients do not like when you go, oops, Because I'm an oops type of guy. I just I drop the ball. Oops. Nope. Because what they think is, oops, he cut my toe off. Oops, they're a ball sack. That's what they think.
God, I feel like I feel like an old woman. I have a story for every lesson. There was actually a nurse that I worked with that was questionable in skill level. And this patient was having clots coming from, it was a male patient, clots coming from the urethra around the Foley catheter. They were quite large clots. I was trying to help this nurse clean up these clots. And the nurse is going, oh, fuck. Oh, under his breath, of course, under his breath. And I'm like, we can hear you. He's right there. And he's going, oh, fuck. And I'm like, dude, if somebody was working on your penis, and you can't see what they're doing, are those really the words you want to be hearing? No, not even remotely close.
Nope.
So I felt like that was an instance as a young NA that I was like, let me teach you something. No oopses around the genitals. No, oh shit, or what's that? Or no, none of those things.
People think the worst, and I think I would too. So I've actually had to remove that from my vocabulary.
Uh huh. Couple more coughs. Oh, bummer. Should I just whistle a song? Oh, drink some Slurp. Aren't you supposed to take a sip every time you cough? If I make you laugh, is it just going to make the coughing spasm worse? Are you having tracheospasms right now? Guys, he's shaking his head yes. No Slurp, just tracheospasms. This is real life, folks. This is real life. Are you washing it down? Tell me I'm not even going to judge, man. Drink some water, then moisten your throat. Now he can't turn his microphone back on. I'm just going to mute you so that nobody can hear what you say from now on. It's just going to be the Adrienne show talking shit about Andrew and his cough. You're still on mute, man. I see your lips moving, but I can't hear you. There you are. Hello. Welcome back.
Oh, fuck. those coughing spells are no joke. That's why
they're not.
This cough syrup.
Even though I joke, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said, even though I was joking around, I
am. Oh, you mean when you're making fun of me? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Guilty as charged. Sorry.
So, wow. We went way, 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 way away from the conference.
We went down the river tangent.
We sure did. So, what the hell?
So, let's get back. The last thing I remember saying was I was talking about how, the classes are great, but really the networking that occurs at these conventions is really valuable, because I'm sure it sounds like, I kind of watched the little bit of live Facebook Live that you did while you were there, and you did give a shout out to the folks whose one class you did go see, or one talk. So talk a little bit about, you said you were just going up to strangers. How were you received? What was the community like there? Do you feel like you just kind of, people were like, hey, who the hell are you? Cool. Come on over.
I was very warmly received. I think part of it is I have a recognizable face because I'm out there so much in the community. Mm-hmm. But some people had no clue who I was, too. So networking, we've all heard it, is valuable. I'm going to tell you it's extremely valuable as a nurse, even on an individual level. For a person that's not even in this YouTubing thing, podcasting thing, as a standard person, a nurse out there, networking leads to better opportunities. I would say it would lead to more frequent and better opportunities. Hands down, that has been my experience. The more people you know that know your skill set, the more relationships you develop in the community you're involved with online, in the nursing community, for instance, the more opportunities you're going to have. And so these conferences give you an opportunity to step in front of industry leaders that are making leadership decisions. They're disruptors, they're thought leaders, they're the source of the change in the industry. And to be around them, you feel their, their positivity, their motivation. You get a chance. I'm going to cough.
So essentially, you kind of get to see their vision. You basically get to be a firsthand witness to kind of the direction they see the industry going.
Oh, definitely.
And you get to have your input to that as well.
For sure. Yes. And, you know, you don't have to be a blogger or make videos or podcasts to benefit from that relationship, because simply having a good discussion with these people, having their knowledge passed on to you, is very valuable. And I was experiencing all different levels of networking, anywhere from, hey, nice to meet you, my name's Andrew, where, you know, what industry are you in, what are you doing, all the way to, we need to do a sponsored video together, we need to have a professional relationship, we need to do something together. I'll give you an example. I was contacted by a CEO of a major company in Omaha, Nebraska, and it's a massive company. I mean, they bring in like $80 million a year, so it's huge. And they invited Sarah and I out to breakfast. They wanted to not only, I think there was more to it than that. I think they wanted to really start a relationship with me. They like what I'm doing online. They invited us to their company things, their bar outings. We went to things in Vegas. And so you're getting out there and networking is just really beneficial, because it's, like I say, it provides a lot of opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So do you have, I'm asking you all these questions on the fly, so forgive me if I throw one at you that maybe you haven't thought about, but for folks that are, say, introverted but want to attend these conferences, but they're nervous about that aspect of it, like, how do you suggest striking up those conversations? I mean, I'm curious about that myself. You know, you spot somebody that you want to have a connection with, you know, what do you personally do?
Well, I'll tell you exactly. Oh, Jesus, I'm gonna cough again. Fuck. Okay, sorry. I'm going to take a
Don't
little more
sorry. Here. Don't be sorry.
I keep trying to hit mute when I start coughing, but I miss it.
It's okay.
Fuck.
Well, we're not doing this live, so no biggie.
It's really like destroying my innards.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
I know, but I still
appreciate
feel
it.
Bad. Still feel bad for your suffering. I have compassion.
You have that stuff still?
Kind of. Yeah. Actually, I have an overwhelming amount of it, and I feel like it's only grown as I've become a nurse. Like, even though I've gone through a pretty intense period of burnout, I feel like that's kind of my platform is, you know, the compassion. And especially, just a quick little tangent here, roll down the river tangent, but Z-Dog actually did a couple podcasts about empathy versus compassion, and those are actually guiding principles for my practice. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the interwebs and find Z-Dog's talk on empathy versus compassion. He argues, and I agree, he argues that empathy is destructive to healthcare providers, and that compassion is constructive and allows us to be the best supports for our patients. So.
Interesting.
I don't want to steal his message by talking about it here, but you and everyone listening, if you're not familiar with that, you must listen. You must. I think it's an important message, and I couldn't. That's like the thing that I cite the most when I that and his parody songs that I was introduced to for the first time in nursing school by my nursing instructors. So the very first Z-Dog MD song I ever heard was I Got Friends with Low Platelets, which was pretty fantastic. Oh, Andrew, your microphone's still off, man.
So I think with a person that is scared or introverted, to go into a big conference area with mm-hmm. tons of people can be very overwhelming. even as a person, I mean, I would consider myself moderately outgoing. I have a little bit of both. Like sometimes I just need my space. I need to get away from people. Well, other times I'm like, I just need to talk to you right now. Let's talk. In the case of introversion, if there is a particular person that you want to strike up a conversation with, I would consider learning about some of the things that that person has been doing for the community. For instance, I was really hoping I would get a question in with Z-Dog when he did his speech. And I prepared for it before he started talking. So what I did is I researched his mission statement, essentially, his things that he's doing in the healthcare industry.
Like healthcare 3.0 and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what I wanted to hit on was healthcare 3.0. And if I had the chance, I would have asked him essentially.
Whoa. Not so fast. If you want to know what Andrew was going to ask Z-Dog, you've got to tune in next week for part two of TravelCon, Germs, and Tangents. Happy nursing, guys! Hello, nurses! Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, or stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful information, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect that of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks.